let's talk TV. And journalist and writer Phil Wallington is on the line. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jesse.
Nice to have you on, sir. What have you been watching?
Well, look, I have been watching some shows that, quite frankly, I don't like. Now, the reason for that is, and I'll explain it as I go on, the last couple of reviews I've done, I think I've been sounding a bit like Pollyanna,
right?
Because I've been finding everything so wonderful and giving everyone rave reviews on things. So I stepped outside my comfort zone to watch a couple of shows, and the shows that I watched are also right outside my demographic. I suspect that they're from a much younger audience. Mm. But moving on with it, Wellington Paranormal. Now, many of the local critics who have watched that show, and I think are much more attuned to Kiwi humour, and particularly that of young people, like the show. My colleague, Russell Brown, who I always trust in these matters, he's got a good funny bone, and he's quite attuned to pop culture, Kiwi comedians and rock music, and he liked the show. But he noted some of the shortcomings that I saw. Unfortunately, it's funded by New Zealand On Air. That's not unfortunate. But what is unfortunate is the amount of money that they can put into shows like this. The show is modelled on Police 10-7. For those who haven't watched it, I don't think there's anyone in New Zealand. It's a show that sort of filled a slot. It helped the police in a number of ways. It was very good propaganda. It was thoroughly approved by the police before it went to air,
They
certainly caught the odd crook. But it had a very deadpan delivery. Former Detective Inspector Graham Bell is a fairly serious character, and he underplays everything. And, of course, the cops on the show did likewise, and it was very, very deadpan. And occasionally the deadpan came to be very funny, as in the famous incident where the cop has pulled up the drunken man who's trying to drive while eating a pie, and he's obviously suffering from what we all get with drunken pie consumption, the red-hot gravy hitting your fingers, and the cop advises him very strongly to blow on the pie.
Yes.
Presumably blowing the breathalyzer as well. Unfortunately, you know, that's as far as the humour went. I think the only other person who's ever said anything vaguely funny, and it was pretty off comment, was Rick Ellis, who once referred to Police 10-7 as part of TVNZ's Maori content, which was a very offensive, you know,
he was an executive.
Out of it, but certainly no Maori would have enjoyed that.
He was a TVNZ exec, was he?
Yeah, he was. He was the CEO, and I think he was before a parliamentary select committee where people tend to be, you're sitting in the hot seat, and I suppose you can forget your lines, but he certainly fluffed his lines by describing Police 10-7 as a Māori program.
Yeah, well, I'm glad, I'm glad there's a new generation of people making those calls now.
Get too many laughs around the place. But look,
if Police 10-7 is sort of dry, do you accept that it's sort of ripe for parody then, which is, you know, as you say, part of the Wellington Paranormal sort of pastiche is taking the mickey out of those, you know, pretty stoic sort of New Zealand police officers?
I think Police 10-7 is so wooden that doesn't need the mickey taken out of it, quite frankly. But let's just talk about it. You have some interesting characters in the show. I'll give them that. The two constables who star in it are Constable O'Leary, who's played by Karen O'Leary. Her partner Constable Minogue is played by Mike Minogue. They have Sergeant Maka, who's played by Maka Poatu. And there's another fellow in the cast. Constable Parker is played by Tom Sainsbury. Now, he's a sort of cringing character who isn't one of the main participants. He just moves the action along.
Yeah.
The season opener started with a drunken young woman in Cuba Mall at night, which is probably quite a normal beginning for a Police 10-7.
Yeah.
But, of course, as the constables start to talk to her, they find that she's paranormal because she vomits a huge amount of green fluid, which is pretty disgusting. A special effect is used. It's a sort of garden hose full of green false vomit, which sprays all over the place. And she then, her eyes turn all funny and she becomes zombified and starts talking in a zombie voice. Now, I didn't find that funny, but I'm sure a lot of people who like projectile vomiting and zombies would have. The cops, O'Leary and Minogue, take her back to the police station where Sergeant Marker, who is even more wooden and possibly stupid than they project themselves, he tells them that he's introducing them to his secret project, which is the Paranormal Squad, and he plays with a bookcase which opens up into a door and they go inside and they get a briefing on it. Meanwhile, the paranormal girlie is in the cell and she does paranormal things like walking up the walls and hanging off the ceiling. But when Sergeant Marker goes to see her, she's quite back to normal, talking normally. And then all of a sudden she's paranormal again and she flicks him out of the way and escapes from the police station by throwing various constables all over the building. It's shot inside Wellington Central Police Station and they're wearing normal police uniforms. So it has a sort of a good feel for 10-7, but the action is weird and wonderful. To wrap it up very quickly, the paranormal woman escapes. She's gone off to the suburbs. She's in somebody's home. When they go there, they find that the father of the girl, he's suffering a midlife crisis, which has made him paranormal. He has a zombie voice and sunny eyes. And when he comes to, the mother gets it and she escapes into a park where the constables can't keep up with her bounding across fences. And Constable O'Leary, the female constable, gets stranded on the fence. Now, I found it monumentally unfunny. I know it's written by Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi. And they are very, very funny people. They're great comedians. I've got no doubt about that. But the problem with the show is the special effects look cheap. Now, they are cheap because, let's face it, they're not putting a huge amount of money in. It's not like Lord of the Rings. It's not like the superhero movie that I'm going to talk about shortly. It's all done on the cheap, and it's sort of clunky. Now, if you think that clunky adds to the humour, that could well be a point in its favour. But unfortunately, to me, it looked pretty amateurish, and the humour was thinly spread, and it really relied on the fact that the cops are pretty stupid. I don't know where it would leave you, Jesse. Have you seen it?
I haven't, but you're the first person. Which this is a good thing. You're the first person who's told me that he hasn't enjoyed it. Well, yeah, you know, that's why we get
well,
you on for unpopular opinions.
I'm atypical, mate. I am atypical in this, but you know, to me, it was monumentally unfunny. I did actually watch episode two for a bit, and that was a plot where the paranormal happenings were that dairy cows were being stuck at the top of quite tall trees. At that stage, I thought, I better watch something else.
You gave it a go. You gave it a go, which is, you know, to your credit, Phil. Have you been enjoying Batwoman any better?
No. But let me say, it's almost the polar opposite of Paranormal Wellington, mm-hmm. because they have millions of dollars that they've spent on their character-generated action. And it's very, very slick, very, very professional, very witty, very unbelievable. And I find the characters, and this applies to all super characters. I've watched all the Superman things, Batman I'm less interested in. Although the villains, I find, you know, Jack Nicholson's Joker was a brilliant piece of acting. You know, the guy just fitted the role perfectly. But I always find the superheroes to be sort of cardboard characters. They're pretty one-dimensional. I mean, even the love interest for Superman, you know, is Lois Lane, who's supposed to be a bit of eye candy, and also she's Superman's squeeze. But if you think a little deeper about Lois Lane, she's obviously rivetingly stupid because she's a woman who can't recognise that Clark Kent It's Superman.
Come on,
you're
Phil.
Just wearing a pair of glasses.
Suspension of disbelief, mate.
Anyway, just getting on with it. Kate Kane is the heroine in the series. It's played by the Australian actress Ruby Rose, and it starts off with a character, a computer-generated piece of underwater swimming where she's swimming beneath a frozen lake. I didn't time it, but she would have won the world record for holding your breath underwater swimming by several minutes, possibly about 20. She pops out through the ice and gets on with the action. Now, she's returning to Gotham City. Her background is that her father sent her off. He's a retired army colonel. He sent her off to West Point, where she was given the boot for lesbian activities with one of the other cadets. They're having a good kiss and a cuddle, and the drill sergeant catches them. So she's out in her ear, and she has to find a way into some sort of superhero role following the steps of Batman, which she does. Her father, who's a guy called Doug Ray Scott, he's a Scottish actor, and he's a sort of doer character. He plays Jacob Kane, who's Rose's father. He doesn't want her to be a superhero. He doesn't want her to do anything very much, so she defies him. And she runs into the only character who I found who had a bit of appeal, who was a young black guy called Camorous Johnson, and he plays Luke Fox, who's a new addition to the Batman repertoire, and he is the guy who's in charge of all the Batman relics since Batman left Gotham City.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's a nice idea, yeah.
He's quite a good character. The bad person is someone who is playing Alice in Wonderland gang, and she's Alice in Wonderland.
I wonder if the guy you mentioned, is he sort of in the Alfred role? Presumably he sort of supplies her with some of that equipment when she needs it.
Yes, that's right. But he does it very reluctantly. So she's given she breaks in there virtually. She's actually able, because she's had Street Fighter training, she's able to climb tall buildings in not a single bound, but she claws her way up, and she gets in through the windows, and she starts using Superman stuff. And her adversary is the Alice in Wonderland gang. Alice in Wonderland is someone who would make Lewis Carroll roll in his grave several times. She's wearing an Alice thing, but she's a manacle, sort of semi-charming psychopath, played by Rachel Scarson, who actually played Queen Elizabeth I in The Reign.
Okay.
So she's versatile, if nothing
the
else.
Other thing to mention, sorry to interrupt, Phil, just about out of time, but I don't know if you mentioned that Ruby Rose plays Batwoman, which is will mean something to some people. She's a fairly well-known Australian actress.
Yes, that's correct. And Ruby Rose, I must admit, when I looked at her, I thought, this is a quite appealing character, but again, you never felt the character gave nothing apart from what it could do by running up buildings and things. You never really got to see anything apart from a nascent relationship with another young lady at West Point. I can't connect, unfortunately. I can't feel sympathy for them. So I sit back there and I watch it. And, for me, it's mental candy. You'd watch it on a wet afternoon, I think. And it was a wet afternoon when I watched it.
Okay.
So it wasn't too bad. But there you are. There are two shows that probably aren't for people of my age or inclination. And I valiantly watched them for you. And your listeners at RNZ. So, and I just didn't want to come across with another rave review. So
good
there
man.
You are.
Nice to have you on. Thanks very much. Good to chat to you. We'll catch up with you in a few weeks, okay?
Thank you.
Phil Wallington, one of our TV reviewers, and we do a TV review each Monday just after the 2 p.m. news.